I can tell you, where we at now, Easter can be the most marvelous, wonderful Easter you've ever had in your life. Especially when it's breakthrough year and Easter, resurrection, put them together, resurrected breakthrough. I mean, that's powerful. I think this year I'm going to preach. It's hard for me to say this, but I'm going to say it. I'm working on a sermon that talks about rolling your stone away. See, Christ's stone's already been rolled away, and we might need to take a little look at His rolling His stone away and do it in our own life. Amen? Those roadblocks, those stones that are in your way. You're holding your place there. Just look up here and let me kind of prepare you for where we're going. This is breakthrough year. And because it's breakthrough year, everything we're saying is supposed to be and trying to be about a breakthrough. See, I learned a long time ago, you know, if you take the people every kind of way, they don't know where they're going. They get drunk. You need to go the same way. Sheep follow the voice of the shepherd. And the voice of a stranger they will not obey. You take the sheep to this way and you try to change them real quick, they scatter. So we want to stay focused. We want to talk about, and I know you get tired of it, but you've got to get from your head to your heart. You've got to understand that all of us need something broken in our life. So once it's broken, the master, the clay, we're the potter, he can mold us and shape us back in the image that He wants to. Brokenness is not a bad thing. I've been broken many times. Sometimes I needed it. Other times I just fell and broke something. Just got my eyes off Jesus. But sometimes you just need to go to the place of brokenness. And there you'll be molded back and shaped in the image of the Lord. So we're all working on something. I cannot and will not tolerate stone throwers. You understand? There's nobody in this house. Not even the oldest preacher here. Preacher Kennedy. Not even he is without fault in some way. Amen. Right. See, right. And I want to say, as long as you call yourself fat, you will continue to be fat. You have what you say. You have what you say. You have what? Sit down. You have what you say. I'll let you take it over next week. What?
The scripture said you'd be fat and flourishing.
Yeah, okay, that kind of fat. Well, then run. I want to see your fat, flourishing body. Where it winds up. Oh, Lord, I got to leave you alone. One definition of breakthrough is to burst or advance quickly and suddenly through an obstruction or opposition. Yeah. It's a suddenly thing, like Brother Jeff is saying. Breakthrough is not something. Breakthrough, and we'll get there. A breakthrough is a moment. It's a twinkling of an eye situation. One moment you're there, and one moment you're here. One moment you're here, one moment you're there. It's suddenly. It's not something that you can conjure up, but you can be. You can have faith for it, and all of a sudden, the wall comes down. Do you know people in life build walls? Yeah. Do you really know that? Yes. Most people live their entire life in defeat. Right. Most people. Thank you for the grunt. Yeah. Yeah. Even Christians. I'm talking about most people. Even Christians themselves have walls in their life. Walls. I think about writing another book. I got a lot of titles. I just need to put something in the paper. You know, walls without holes. People cannot see their future because their future is hidden by walls that have no holes. And people, Christians, they seem like they're just a hoping and a praying. They're just trying to get there. It's just such a hard pressing way for us. And we wind up living our life which is real short. Life is short. That we live our life in total or almost total defeat. Always looking for something we cannot see because we built walls around our lives. Yeah. And that's why it's so important that breakthrough comes to your life. It only takes one moment of your life to change your life. Yeah. You need to write this down and get an understanding of it. Get ready and write this down. God spends a lot of time preparing us for our moment. God spends a lot of time in our lives preparing us for that moment. We don't always like the timing of God. Sometimes it seems like God is doing nothing, but we know by faith that God is taking us somewhere. He's doing something in our lives. Say this after me. God's doing something in me. See, we get carried away with the timing of it. And we don't understand the preparation. That we have to get to a certain place in our life for that moment to happen. It's all in the Bible. People trying to disclaim it, trying to explain it, making excuses why it took Abraham so long to have Isaac. They trying to bring it into natural means that it would take 25 years for Abraham to regrow himself so he could have good sperm. And they took 25 years for Sarah. I mean, they're going to teach this. Took 25 years for Sarah to regrow her ovaries so she could have a baby. Trying to understand why it took so long. It took so long for Abraham to have Isaac because preparation was needed. Study Abraham's life. He lied to start with. He brought upon him, he had an Ishmael, which delayed the blessings of God. You can conjure up all you want, but don't ever forget the time that God's invested in our lives for the moment of our life to have breakthrough. Boy, that's powerful. In one moment, like our brother said, one moment of your life can change you forever. Glory to God. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great man. See, God wants to bring us. And when I say men, I'm talking about women too. Great women. Yes. God wants to bring us before great men and women. That takes preparation. It says that a man's gift will make room for him. And then and bringeth him. His gift. His preparations for his entitlement of his gift for God. His life, so to speak. In that preparation time, God's timing. God wants to bring us before great men and women. Another word could say he wants to bring us before successful men and women. Listen to me. This is probably beyond, but you need to hear it. I can't preach to babies no longer. I'm going somewhere myself. And I need to lay a foundation I can eat on because we make a living by the words we say. That's another preaching, but we make a living by our words, not a living by our job. The job can fire you, but your words right, you can still make a living. Anyway, that's another sermon. Amen. That's the walk of faith that we're talking about. God wants to bring us because, you know, the law is this, that the greater blesses the lesser. The law is this, the greater blesses the lesser. A successful man or woman can bless you. Less people that are broke, busted, and disgusted cannot bless you. So God wants to develop your gift, the preparation of your life, tearing down the walls that have no holes in your life. And that takes time until He can bring you to the place that you sit in front of a successful person. I mean, we still can't comprehend that God uses people to change our circumstances. We don't have a problem in the world. We go to the doctor because we want the doctor to change our circumstance. But when it comes to church, we just can't believe that God will use one human being that's been successful to change your broken life in a moment. He uses people. Give. Luke 6:38, and it shall be given unto you. pressed down, shaken together, running over from God's money tree in the backyard. From gold dust appearing in the church. Forget the gold dust. Give me the gold. I don't need the dust. People get excited about dust. You can't spend dust. Amen. You know I'm not religious. But we can't understand, and we get all bent out of shape when somebody blesses somebody. But that's the way of God. He uses all of us. The more successful I am, the more that surround me are blessed. You ain't been around me, you just your fault. You need to break the door down and get around me. You get blessed. Amen. But God, it takes preparation. It takes time that God moves you from those days of preparation to the time you're sitting right in front of your blessing. Here's the thing we fight with. We all fight with this. It's the preparation takes longer than the one moment. The preparation takes longer, Pam, you know this, than the performance. This praise team, before they sing these beautiful songs, they prepare week after week. Ask them. They sing the same song over and over. And Miss Penny, I know I've heard her say, Pam, did you hear that? Pam said, I don't hear nothing. Pam, Penny, do you hear that? Penny, I don't hear nothing. They're preparing. They're getting all the bad notes out and all the sloppy singing and agape singing sometimes needs to get out of there. And do it right. It takes preparation. Shout preparation. Preparation. Put many hours in practicing and get to this stage and in 5 minutes it's gone. But it's necessary. Say necessary. My Bible is on this pulpit. This pulpit is holding my Bible, my book. But it took months and hours of preparation. Somebody just didn't pull this out of a bubblegum machine. This looked like marble, but it's wood. It took that man hours and hours and hours and hours to build this thing. This pulpit costs over $3,000. It took him weeks. Just come up and look at it. It's beautiful. It was shipped to us, made. Come put it together. It took preparations to hold up the gift of God. Pain, tears, hours of sweat. Discomfort. But it was necessary just to hold the Bible. Without it, the book falls. And what will happen to you if you don't have preparation? You fall too. And God knows that. See, God's a lot smarter than us. See, we ought to leave people alone sometime and let God deal with them. We see the gift. We want them to jump up and bless people in a moment, but they're not prepared. I mean, how many times we saw people get up behind the pulpit or anywhere, they're not prepared. Their life hasn't prepared them for that time. And before you know it, they done split. You don't, where's so-and-so? They gave testimony last week how God blessed them. They weren't prepared for the moment. You can get your moment and miss your moment at the same time. You can get your moment and it go through you like a bag with holes in it. You will just smell it and look at it and it's gone. Because you haven't been prepared for the moment. I'm trying to get somewhere, but I'm getting stuck right here. Everything I've been through, glory to God. Everything I've ever cried about was in preparation for my moment. I didn't see it at the time. But I see it now. That if I had received my blessing before that moment of God's timing of preparation, I would have squandered my blessing and lost it. See, I'm so glad. I was blessed in the early age. At 31, I was retired. Me and Penny wasn't working at 31. We owned two daycares and a farm, a beautiful four-bedroom farm, and we had tractors, and our kids had four-wheelers, and we was enjoying life, and we didn't have no problems. We had a bunch of money, but I didn't have God. And so I had to, I sold it all and give it all away. But I thank God that happened. I mean, I got burnt. God didn't do it, but something happened in my life to change me, because I would have lost it by now and wound up in my old age, probably without of my life and with no children, and lost it all. But thank God, God brought me to the moment in my old age of preparation so He can bless me. And He don't have to be concerned that I'm going to run off with some woman that's got pretty toenails and fingernails and hips and smells good. That preparation of me and Penny's life, our up and down, our in and out, had brought us to the point that we can celebrate each other's life. But it took years. It took her loving me when I was unlovable. It took the burnings. It took the sicknesses. Now, God didn't do that, but it all worked out for the good. So you can never celebrate your future until you can celebrate your past. You got to dig something out of your past that makes you happy about your life so you can move on from those hurts and pains. Woo! You get that one. God spends a lot of time preparing us.
Yes, He does.
God is patient. He will spend ever how long it needs to move you out of lack into the provisions that have been there for you all the time.
Yes, sir.
And when you get ready, say get ready.
Get ready.
And when that moment comes, you can move from poverty into wealth in a moment. And from sickness and disease into health in one moment. When you're ready. Say ready.
Ready.
But you're never ready until you celebrate your hurts. God, that'll take years. Because we built a religion on hurts, pains, and needs. Even when we preach faith, it's needy faith. Right? You got to have faith to get the money. You got to have faith to get the healing. We package faith as something needy. You get the faith to get the stuff. But listen, the Bible says we live by faith. There needs to be a time in your life that your faith has provided provisions. That you don't have to be concerned about your income all the time. Concerned about your health all the time. Because you've learned to live by faith. You've been prepared to live in abundance. But we've made it a touchy, a feely, a cry. We have to handle this thing with kids' gloves. And that's why we're so in need for teaching. So in need for enlightenment. We need to grow up. To punch somebody and say,
we need to grow up.
How long would somebody work you on a job if every day you went to job and you moaned and complained and cried and said, I beg for your check and beg for your promotion and begged and begged. He'd be better to give you a pink slip and get you out of the building. But that's how we approach God. We beg and we beg and we cry and we moan and we're not waiting for the preparation to take place. We're not ready for God to take us and bring us before great and mighty men. We want to get there right now. And we're defeated. We got the mully grub. Don't nobody want what we want. Can I preach a little bit? This may not fill this building up, but it'll grow you up. And then you can fill it up.
Yes.
Yes. This is this, folks. We're going to sleep this. Where are the lost? Where are the despondent? They're the ones that needs the breakthrough.
Yes.
Why haven't we filled this church up with people who need breakthrough? We're having to get you motivated to move past your circumstances. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm just anointed today. Y'all worship has got me on fire, man. Y'all go up, I got to go up. It'll be over in the next 30 minutes. Don't worry about it. Amen. Hold on. Ride it. Take advantage of it. See the scenery. Grab a hope. Grab a hope. Grab a hold of what God has for you. That's your moment. That's your moment. Everybody here has something to bring to God's table. Every one of you have a gift that God is developing. I don't care where you've been. You can't rub it off. I don't care where you at, because you are born of God breathed into man the breath of life. God emplaced, impregnated into every person, whether they be out in sin or not, a gift that they can develop before God. People just don't come to the enlightenment of their gift, and they die without being brought before great and mighty men and women. They try to get that greatness in the world. If I can be the best ball player, look at the money I make. Oh, if I could just be an actor, why, my goodness, if I could just get on the Days of Our Lives, I'd show them one or two things. I'd become a mighty, I'd be rich and famous. Let me tell you something. If you just be a good Christian, a faithful Christian, a person of an integrity and growth in the mighty things of God, God will take you from poverty to wealth. Yeah. And you won't lose it on the journey. Yeah. See, these people want the world to make them famous. They lose it on the journey.
Right.
Sandra Bullock, I don't usually talk about movie stars. I don't know how I remembered her name, except she's pretty. I know them women's names. I know some of the women's names, believe me. Some stupid husband just got the Oscar. A stupid husband goes out with a piece of trash. Well, it is. Somebody go out with another man's wife, it is. Amen. Traded that good looking woman off with the Oscar in her hand. Just got it for that. Crazy. Shout crazy. That's the world's way. They're not prepared for abundance. Money just amplifies the world's problems. If you're a drunken, the more money you get, you drink more. And you wind up in the ditch. You're a womanizer, you just get more money, you get more women. Wind up with all kinds of disease and die. Or get killed by somebody. What's wrong with growing up in God? What's wrong with being prepared for the moment of your prosperity? Where nobody, no thief, no devil in hell can rob you of that moment. Because God is with you. God was with Joseph. Though he was a slave, God was with Joseph and he was prosperous. They tried to lie against him and rob him. They put him in prison to rob him. But it wasn't long. Joseph went from the pit to the palace. Most influential man in the world worked with him. Glory to God. The biggest trick of life is that life itself will devalue your gift. Your something. Everybody has something. Say, I have something. But life without revelation, listen to me, people of God. You might be saved, but revelation is your inspiration, and revelation is your way of covering for your circumstances. Life will devalue your gift. Life will. How many of you know God is good? But life is not.
Right.
life itself without revelation of God and His riches and promises of your life can be a drudgery in a Christian life. The only difference in most people that's saved in the world, they got Jesus, that's all. They're lonely, they're despondent, they're rejected, they're sad, they have no joy, but they got Jesus. Jeff, I got your anointing today. Tell it like it is, preacher. I was going to tell them this morning. I feel that old. Oh my. I put God into a box so much. I put myself in a box. I can't even talk about. I feel that deliverance spirit coming. Because I've said so much sometimes about deliverance. I was born in the deliverance spirit, man. I was nobody worse than sin in this place than me. I had to be delivered. It took months. They thought they put me in a nut house because the devil was coming into my house and talking to me and telling me I wasn't born again and couldn't get saved and I was going to hell. And it took months of praying and getting on my knees and people praying for me to get me through that dark hour. I know what deliverance is. And I'm telling you, deliverance is coming again to the house of God. The devils never cried out till Jesus showed up. They were in the temple. They were always in the temple. But when Jesus opened the door, they cried out, "Why are you here to torment me before my time?" Jesus is in the house. And when He's in the house, darkness is exposed. Some of you need deliverance. Period. Church ain't going to help you. Being faithful, tithing ain't going to help you. Some of you need to have a snot, throwing, crying, good old time at the altar of God till you pray yourself through. Because you've lost so many battles in life. Your battles have devalued your gift. And when you look at your gift, you look at it with pain. And not faith that God has something still for you to do. So many people, I'm trying to get on to, you know, the title of my message, Brother Paul, is "My Help Is Here." What did you say this morning? He shows up on time. I may not get there, but I'm getting there. This is helping you too, because it don't matter how much God shows up unless you're not ready. If you're not ready, He just goes on. But He comes back. That's a good thing. He's tender and merciful, but He's waiting on you to get ready. Say, get ready. The devil knows if he can get you all caught up in your pain. That's why you need to get it cried out. Quit. Cry the last tear of your pain. See, if you don't watch it, you use that time somebody touched you in the wrong manner in your early life. And let that thing rob you of your future. Oh, it's a good excuse, but God can heal you of that. Because that thing will devalue you all your life. And you will miss your dream. See, here's why breakthrough is so important. Your gift, your something inside that's behind that wall with no holes. It's how you make your living. We have preached prosperity. I believe the devil could preach the sermons. He's heard it enough. We have preached so much about people being blessed, but yet they stay poor. Somebody said that to me this week. Why are people still in lack if you preach so much about blessings? Why? I tell you why. Because we're still looking for God to do something that He's already did. We think we motivate Him by our pain, by our lack, like I said, by our need. Cry a few tears, God shows up. Like a genie. There He is. Sick 'em, God. Get 'em, God. Don't work that way. There are a lot of people in pain right here this morning wondering why God has not bailed them out. Why haven't I got my blessing? Why haven't I got my breakthrough? Because your pain has prevented your gain. You still have a wall. You might have a little peephole. You're on your way. That's a good thing. You can, listen, your dream is out there. God, the gifts and callings of God are irreversible. That's it. We use that over preachers. But it's forever. You're all gifted. You all have a gift to bring to God. What can the foot say to the hand? What can the toe say to the leg? We are all working together to profit the kingdom. And what's so sad, we as pastors and preachers of this day have enabled you to stay where you're at. Because we need your money. We won't talk to your sin because you'll quit giving. I got to say this. I got to say it. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. I can tell you God is going to put His people on the map. Those that are humble and thirst after righteousness. Those who will get out of the sinning business and lay everything at the cross and quit this business of sin. And run this race with all your might. God is going to promote you in these coming days. And you're going to come on the map and you're going to see a lot of changes among all this stuff. I prophesy here. And who's on the top right now in the religious world and who you see on TV. They're going to be a shift shortly. God's raising up an army with no names. They're raising up people who have no faces. God is raising up people who have prepared for this moment. They've been hid behind the rock for such a time as this. Thank God, Paul, Southern Gospel ain't got you yet. I pray every day it don't get you. It gets you out. You stay here to you and God sing a new song unto God. You don't need to sing songs. You don't know where they came from. What somebody was doing when they was writing a song. My goodness, you'd be surprised. And put God on it because it sounds good. We need something coming from the throne. We need something sound like Sister Pam said that vibrates from heaven to the earth. That only His chosen few can hear. But glory to God when they hear it. Woo! What a mighty band of warriors it'll be on the earth. Your gift pays your bills.
Yes, sir. It does.
Hallelujah.
That's why it's so important to have a breakthrough. Say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Well, now I've got to preach my sermon. Oh, Lord. Turn and tell someone help is on the way. See, you're not hopeless. You're not hopeless. Tell somebody, I'm not hopeless. I hear what you're saying, preacher. I still got it inside. And help is on the way. Hey, just hang with this thing. We'll uncover your gift. And when that gift comes out, all your blessings come out with it. Oh, say glory to God. First Samuel, you got it. You lost your place. First Samuel, chapter 11. I'll quit at 12:30. continue this thing Wednesday.
Good work,
Richard. 1 Samuel chapter 11, let's read verses 1 through 6. We need help to get this breakthrough, and it's on the way. And before I get through with this thing, it'll show up.
Yes,
I don't like on the way stuff. So I like, it shall arise. Say, it shall arise.
It shall arise.
At my moment. Say, I got a moment.
I got a moment.
Glory to God. I know what I'm talking about. I've had my moments. I know sometimes I preach people in pain sometimes when messages are preached. I've been there. That's why I'm saying this. That people in pain or discomfort or situations when sermons are preached like this, they think that it's preached with, making shame upon their lives or something like, because you're in pain and I'm not, I'm better than you. Listen, we all have some pain to deal with. Amen. Something we deal with all of. These messages are preached this way because faith has to go. Faith has to go far to the left or far to the right for you to get a hold of it. You can't preach a tiptoe through the tulip sermon when people are in pain. What's my rub on your back going to help you? What's my pat on your back and rub your little your tears and say, it's going to get better. No, I need to get to the root. Because that's where the fruit's coming from. And dig deep down within that thing so you'll say, I'm tired of it. Because what you tolerate, you accept. Yeah, it took me. Let's see, 3, 4, I said, let's go 4 years, 3 years. Time flies. Till I was 57 somewhere, maybe 58, 57, 58, I tolerated poverty. Preaching faith. Some of you have been here with us. You know when you saw us drive up the first time we drove in the parking lot. We had some men out there, and we drove in the parking lot with a black Chrysler that none of the windows would roll down. They were all... You know, the motors went out all of them. No air condition. We ride in there and the men spoke faith and said, it won't be long. You won't be driving that car.
Good word. Won't be long. Good word.
I know what I'm talking about. I came here broke, busted. I worked 3 jobs when I came here. Some of you can't get one. I worked 3 jobs to provide for my Penny, my Chad, and my Bethany. I don't have very much patience with people. I shouldn't say that.
Come on.
Go sell cans.
Yes.
Dig a ditch.
Yes.
Nobody asked me, could they cut my grass?
Come on,
that's right. Come on now.
Help me out, Brother Kennedy. I don't. Wake up. You're going to need a job sooner or later. Obama going to cut the money out one day. It's going to run out. I'm telling you. Whoever. You better get figuring out how to get a job. How does that have to do with help? Well, anyway. What I was saying is I've been where you've been. Only been the last few years. I've had my moments. And I still have the pain. I can cry with you. I can feel for you. I can love you and help you, but I'm trying to tell you how to get your moment. You're never too late for a moment. I don't care how old you are. There's never too late in your life to set before a blessed person. And that blessed person can see your pain. And because they're blessed by God, they can turn around and write you a check. It'll change your whole life in a moment. In a moment. What you see here today was birth in a moment.
Hallelujah.
God moment.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I have to holler it out. It won't come out. Well, I know who blessed you. Yes, that's all right. God brought me before. God did it. So I know He did it. They know it too. Hallelujah. So what you need to do is say, "Me, I'm next, I'm next, I'm next, I'm next. My gift will make room for me." Say that. My gift will make room for me. And God will bring me before blessed men and women. God, if you try to get in their face, it ain't going to work. I hope I ain't said too much. I got to say it though. I can't say it without telling you the truth. Well, all right, we'll at least read the scripture. You got it? 1 Samuel 11, verse 1. Then Nahash, that's the way it is, because I looked it up in my little thing. Then Nahash, the Ammonites were enemies of Israel. And Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh, Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee." And Nahash the Amorite answered them, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel." Go down to verse 5. I said, "Help is on your way." And behold, Saul came after he heard out of the field. And Saul said, "What aileth the people that they weep?" And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings. And his anger was kindled greatly. Now hold your place. I've got 15 minutes and we'll get. Hold your place there and we'll talk about how God delivered the people. But what I want you to look at right now is that God sent somebody to help these people. Yeah. Say this with me, help is on the way.
Help is on the way.
See, Nahash is a type of the devil. Nahash is a type of the enemy of your life. And Nahash came to make a covenant with these people. And if they made covenant with these people, Nahash would not harm them. But Nahash required that these people let him take out their right eye. Say right eye. What does that have to do with it? How many of you know the devil is a thief? John 10:10 says he comes as a thief, seeking whom he may devour. And the devil's job is to blind you. To keep revelation from coming to your life and inspiration, as we already talked about, for a better day for your life. So you'll be blinded to what's past the wall. Amen. Well, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them." The devil's job is to blind us. Say blind us. And he blinds us. He wants to pluck out our eyes. And he blinds us with temptation. He blinds us with sin. We'll talk about sin a little bit. Because your breakthrough is blocked by sin. Amen. How do you know? How many of you know that sin blinds you? 1 John chapter 2 verse 11 says, "But he that hateth his brother is in what? Darkness. And walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes." Sin germinates, or sin is birthed in darkness. You can't have sin in light. It's impossible for sin to live in the light of God. Your spirit never sins. That's the problem with people. When they talk about this or that, about what we got in Christ. We're spirit, souls, and body. What your spirit is born of God. It's translated. It's been taken. Translated. It's been moved from here to there. From darkness into light. And if you know the scripture, you didn't have anything to do with it yourself because you were dead in trespasses in your sin. So if somebody had to get you out of darkness and put you in the light, so ain't no way you're going to get out of light and put yourself back in the darkness. You hear me? Is that too far over your head? He brought you out. Just like he brought Israel out, he brought them out with silver and gold, not a feeble ones among them. Don't you think you brought your cell phone out of that darkness? God jerked you out of that darkness. He put the spirit of Jesus into your heart, into your spirit rather, and it cannot return to darkness.
Hallelujah. Good
preaching. Not only was Naboth's intention to blind the people, but to embarrass the people. Look at verse 2. And Naboth the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out your right eye and lay it up for a reproach upon all Israel." He was going to pluck out their eyes and make a show of it, that Israel saw all that God could not take care of his people. How many of you know the devil wants to embarrass you with your sins? It's an embarrassing thing for a child of God to get in sin and get caught. It's a horrible thing. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get you off on a side journey. Get you out of the love wall. Get you out of living right. Just kind of making everything okay. You know, God doesn't frown on sin anymore. Everybody does it. No, everybody don't do it. Everybody don't fornicate. Everybody don't commit adultery. Everybody don't take drugs. Some folk ought to be hollering here and say, I don't. Somebody ought to back it up and say, I don't. I don't do all that stuff.
I've been delivered.
How about you, Sister Pam? You won. All right, just wonder. Lord to God. No, everybody ain't doing it because some of us know God's against it.
Hallelujah.
You know? Glory to God. Glory to God. See, faith is a crazy thing. It seems like it is an embarrassing thing sometimes. Because the people of faith sometimes do have problems. Not necessarily related to sin. But if you're in a sinning business, you're going to have a bunch of problems as a Christian. It's an embarrassing thing to lose your house and preach faith. It's an embarrassing thing to preach health and healing all your life and wind up with cancer, but that's not the end of the story. Help's on the way. Say, help's on the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, but when you're walking in faith, you see beyond that moment of loss. You see beyond that moment, and you look beyond that, and you see God has something better for you. Say, God got something better for me. I got 6 minutes. Look at verse 5. Hallelujah. Help is on the way. And behold, Saul came into the herd out of the field, and Saul said, "What aileth the people that they weep?" And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. Let me tell you this. Oh, I wish I had time to preach this. God is looking for angry people. God's not looking for mad people. Mad at somebody, but God's looking for people who will rise up in anger and say, "That's enough to all this sinning business." He needs preachers in the pulpit that don't have trimming on the drawers that'll walk up to the pulpit and say, "You need to get out of the sinning business." Point at me and help me preach. Tell me to get out of the sinning business. You better get out of the sinning business. Hallelujah. That felt good. I need to say that. Y'all don't think I preach hot and heavy. Y'all get to my early sermon back there. Man, I had them squirming all the time. I know how to make you squirm, but I want to give you some love in it. Hey, we need to get angry about this. We need to get angry about our circumstance. And why are we there? Why are we in failure? Why are we in lack? Why must we sit here in this place and die? Somebody around you, if you don't get angry, somebody ought to have enough guts to get angry for you and tell you, you need to get out of that house. You don't need to be living in fornication. You don't need to be living in adultery. You don't need to be looking at those X-rated movies, whatever. You don't need to be gambling and playing lottery. You don't need to be. But we can't say we don't need to be because we want everybody happy camper. I don't believe happy camper is going to make it into heaven. Because the Bible said if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. It ain't going to be rosy all the time in your life. Get real. Turn to somebody and say, get real. Glory to God. I wish I had time to preach this thing. Hallelujah. What you tolerate, I already said. What you don't get angry about in your life, you will tolerate and live on the other side of the wall. And you'll miss your dream. You won't miss heaven. Jesus secured that trip. You don't need, you got fire insurance. Jesus keeps you out of hell. But Jesus alone don't get you into heaven on earth. You got to do something. You got to do something. Say, we got to do something. We got to live the process out. And the process is that we live in a place that we don't do sin in business. We get out of as my daddy would say, we get out of the sin in business. I'm not talking about perfection. It wouldn't hurt for us to work on it. I'm talking about just plain old. I mean, we've got a generation that just engulfed. We watch too much TV. And we think, man, the days of our lives on TV is what. No, we want to live. We don't want to live that. We want to live godly. We want to live under the hand of God. We want to live under the protection. You're going to need this in the coming days. You're going to need to live under the protection of the Most High God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And we can say of the Lord, He is our refuge and fortress. In God do we trust. Surely He shall deliver us from the northern pestilence. God is, that's where we want to live. We want to live under the umbrella of protection. And the only way we're going to live under the umbrella of protection is live right. Say live right. Not live in somebody's conviction. But living holy. What's living holy? Living by what the Word says. Well, I find me a translation that don't have that in there. Well, you probably can. I like the 1619, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. King James Version. I would birth on this and die on this. See, I use all kinds. Don't worry about it. But you can't take it out of the book. Hallelujah. I believe breakthrough is for people who stand their ground and fight. They get angry with their situation. Breakthrough is a violent thing. We already told you. It's a violent, breaking something is violent. Breaking something to put you in jail. You go up to the store and start breaking stuff. They're going to send a paddy wagon after you, man. They got signs in store. Break it, pay for it. What is it? You own it if you break it? Huh? Yeah. Breakthrough's a violent thing. You've got to get angry with yourself, angry with your situation. I'm not talking about questioning your life every day. I'm talking about fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life. I'm talking about calling the kettle black when it's black, calling the kettle white when it's white. Check up on your life and see why you are behind the wall. Well, if my husband would do better, start on yourself. I can tell it's your problem when you say my husband is the problem. Because you would start your conversation and say, I'm praying for my husband. Would you pray too? I love him with all my heart. And then you don't get into all the, well, if he would or she would or they would. No, if the shoe fits, my daddy says, wear it. And you'll see a breakthrough. I ain't got time. You'll see a breakthrough. You'll see a breakthrough. Your help is arriving. I can hear the sound of abundance. I can hear the chariot. I can see. Oh, yeah. Oh, the servant was with Elijah and he needed some rain. And a servant go out. He said, I see a cloud is the size of a man's hand. And the Bible says he got on his horse and started for the house because the storm was on the way. I'm about hollering myself out, bro. Boy, I feel this thing in my bones. This thing real, man. Hey, yeah, I get the regular time. I made them put it on regular time. Thank you, Brother Jeff. I think it is. Yeah, it's right on time. Hallelujah. Help. Say, help's on the way. You stand up. Help's on your way. Stand on the way. Help's on the way. Help's on the way. Shalabongay. Mahashaka Bongay.